Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The Cryptid Factor with Rhys Darby and Dan Schreiber.
Well, throw me into the Arctic waters until I freeze solid, then hammer a large plank of wood to my base and sell me as a popular ice block for the summer. We're back!
This is the only reason I'm turning up each week, is to actually hear what you're going to do to yourself.
How can you be a popular ice block when there's only one? So, however though, if you're frozen solid, we could chip you into many ice blocks, right?
Yeah, I think it starts off as one and then people queue up just to get a bit of it, you see? You ever heard of that term, or I'd love to have a piece of you? I don't know if that is a term.
It's not quite right, is it, as a term? What would that ice block be called?
Darbicles?
I don't know. Look who's cool.
Look who's cool.
The ultimate cool dude.
Oh, Mum, can you give me a look who's cool?
Just give me a bit of a chip of the old look who's cool.
Okay, what flavour do you want? Oh, can I have the hat flavour? Or what part of the hat?
That looks like a nice piece of ass.
Oh, because I've got a hat on, everyone.
Oh, yes.
Piece of ass.
We should mention that, unfortunately, it's happened again. Buttons and I are in the same room.
So sorry about this.
So, long story short, but we'll quickly brief you on what happened. This morning, I needed his help because in the apartment above us, number 19, they were selling their bunk bed and my wife decided to buy it. So I needed his help to dismantle it. He turned up slightly late as usual.
Hey, because I was getting you a coffee.
Got me a coffee. As I say, he knows he's going to do something wrong, so he always brings a coffee. And what did he do wrong? Well, after we dismantled the thing and put it into the Land Rover, he left his laptop bag and everything in the apartment, and the lady left while we were mucking around with the car, putting the stuff in.
So
he's got all his computers stuck in some random person's apartment, three flights ahead of mine.
Okay.
But I'm so confused here, though, right? Can I just point out that, you know, it's Friday morning where you guys are in New Zealand. Buttons has quite a high-powered job, you know. Augusto has about 70 employees. He's the head of a company. What's going on with your job, Button, that you could drop everything to dismantle the bunk bed for Rhys?
This is how good a friend I am. I heard a call for help. And I was like, you know what? There are many issues at work I have to deal with. There's multi-million dollar deals to be done.
Jacinda's on the phone. But Buttons, where are you? Buttons.
I need you.
But this is the kind of guy he is. He'll do anything if it requires it. So one moment he might be in charge of, you know, the Labour Party's filmography. Next moment he's dismantling an old kid's bunk bed in some random apartment downtown.
And at the same time having my laptop locked away because I was so focused on the moving, I didn't care about my laptop. Forgot about my my helicopter-sized headphones that are up there as well now. I haven't even got those.
The Patreon cryptid nights are missing out on the visuals, but they are gaining some wonderful visuals of Dan. Let's talk about your backdrop.
Yeah.
Oh, I've got my Christmas tree. We, as part of lockdown here in the UK, have decided, fuck it, to everything, and we put it up a week and a half ago. And
nice.
We've been watching Arthur Christmas, the movie Arthur Christmas, on loop for the last week. I've seen about 12 times.
Can I just tell you, Dan, I'm in Arthur Christmas.
What?
I'm a voice in that movie.
No, you're not. Who are you?
You're an elf.
Synchronicity coming back and whipping us on the butt again. Yeah, I'm one of the elves. Now, here's a funny story. You won't be able to tell because there's so many little elves in there. Elves. Elves, actually, the plural. Now, I auditioned for that role. I got the part. I was one of the. I was the only elf that didn't need my voice adjusting with computers. So on your 20th listen, in fact, it's quite a good drinking game. If you can watch that movie and every time you hear a voice that you think might be mine, you have a shot. Now, if you're with your kid, of course, just give him a tickle. But it's a fun Christmas game.
How many lines
do you
have in it?
Maybe three or four times.
For all to play.
Do you appear a few times in it or is it one moment?
I have no idea. I get the residual checks, but I'm in there. I think I say something like, oh, it's in a wrapper. And it's just my regular voice. Every other actor that's an elf has their voice, you know, turned up with a computer to get to that that's height. What is it?
His voice reaches heights no other actor can.
Falsetto. Falsetto. That's it.
Falsetto,
right?
Yeah. I was going to say soprano, but that sounds more like a mob boss.
Well, this is very exciting. I'm starstruck all of a sudden. Arthur Christmas, an elf.
It's a great movie.
It's just the best. I love it so much.
I think it's the best Christmas movie.
So you going to Christmas early, is this just an attempt to wrap this year up, to basically get your head into it's the end of the year, 2020 is coming to a close, we're going to start Christmas mid-November to be able to psychologically end the year?
Well, I think we remembered last year as well when we put up the tree, life in a house is just better when a Christmas tree is up. It's warmer, it's friendlier, it's happier.
It's good for morale.
Yeah. Pop on the Christmas tunes. We've been having Driving Home for Christmas and Mariah Carey. It's a proper like Santa's grotto here right now. And I know it's still
that's
November.
Awesome.
Yeah, loving it. It's great.
Oh, that's great. And you've got a real lovely family there too. So I hope that things are looking up. You know, I know the UK's still really solidly in the COVID poo, but yeah, happiness through Christmas vibes is definitely the way to go.
The 15th of December, though, I'm going to call in and just see how the whole Christmas spirit is going. I don't know. A month of Christmas, I think you're probably going to get to the point of like, yeah, okay, let's just open the presents, get into New Year's. Let's do New Year's on the 20th of December.
Yeah.
And then call it closed.
Fenella and Wilf are going to be like, we don't want you hanging out with that Arthur Christmas elf guy anymore on your podcast. Sick of him. Sick of his rapping falsetto.
Come on, it's in my wrapper. Check out what's in my wrapper. Actually, that sounds wrong. And also, do you think Santa this year will be wearing a mask? Surely.
Oh, Santa masks.
Mm.
Well, no, his beard, isn't it? His beard is pretty much a mask. So that filters all kind of like how
getting
bushy
through
that
beard.
Is.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's like can barely eat or drink.
That's why
that
he
beard.
Says ho, ho, ho. He's not actually saying that. He's saying a lot more. But all you can hear through the beard is ho, ho, ho. He's actually saying, hi, how are you?
It's like Kenny from South Park.
How are you, Santa? Ho, ho, ho to you too, mate. Ho, 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 mate, yeah. Keep moving. There's plenty of houses tonight. I think he actually meant his sleigh stuck in a rut. It's been clamped out the front. Yeah, ho, 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 buddy. On your way. Oh, God, he goes on.
The language, imagine an app that has to decipher Santa. That's Google Translate.
Yeah.
Oh, that's like ho, 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 was it? Oh, no, he's in trouble.
Yeah, it's the safe word.
All right, well, after last week's wonderful unedited but less dilly-dallying around episode, let's sort of take heed from that advice.
Self-advice.
And move into our first big section, the classic...
Weekly World Weird News.
Crazy, freaky, watch out.
So... a lot of news this week, but I can't go past the big one, which came out a few days ago now.
Yeah.
And that, of course, is the monolith, the strange monolith found in a remote part of Utah. I'm sure you guys found out this news as well.
Yeah, before the show started, we all basically, Dan and I basically looked at each other and went, you've got a different story, right? A backup story, because Reese is definitely going to take this one.
Yeah.
There's no two ways about it.
The monolith.
Yeah, but isn't it a Reese story.
Isn't it nice? This is my favorite thing about doing the show. I got about 20 messages from people I haven't heard from in a very long time.
Same.
Going, Dan, same. Dan. They found a monolith in Utah. Sorry. My brother messaged me. Bluey messaged me. You know, it's great. Yeah. We've become the magnets for weirdness. I love it.
It's so cool. Hey, while I'm about to do the story, now having you here is actually quite good. Can you go and shut the window buttons? Because I can hear the kids from the school, and I'm worried the listeners are... unplug and just go and shut the window.
I'm just going to say, there's a washing machine... repair guy.
Oh my God, he could
still
here.
Okay.
Michael's here.
I'm closing the windows. Kids,
you shush. No, they're a school. They're allowed to be loud. Okay, that's good. I just worried that the background noise. So, Utah. Now, all over the world, this hit the headlines everywhere. It went huge. Michael, you probably know about this as well, don't you? The monolith. Yeah, and Michael's going to my brother-in-law Michael's here. He might have a few things to say about this as well. Yeah, he's pretty up with the play. This for example, The Guardian, this one reporting here. The structure was found spotted by state employees who were actually counting sheep from a helicopter, which I find hilarious.
So good.
Yeah, one, two, three. Hang on, that one's moved. Four, five. Oh, is that the same? They look the same.
Dangerous for the helicopter driver, because if he falls asleep while doing that, you know.
Yeah, he's not allowed to look down. So the helicopter driver is not, or pilot, as we say, is not allowed to look at the sheep, obviously.
No, it's actually that's a new thing that very wealthy people are doing to fall asleep. They charter a helicopter and go where very remote sheep are, and it helps them.
Yeah, we just want to go up. I'm not tired, so I just want to go up and count the sheep. Yeah, ho, ho, ho to you too, mate. I need to get some sleep. Okay. What?
Right, it's like...
One, two. Yep. Merry Christmas, buddy. Four, five, six. Hang on. Seven. Shit, what's that?
Oh, yawning.
I've just seen a monolith. Go down.
Oh, mate, you got to pay extra for that. You're here to sleep, okay?
By the way, I'm not reading this verbatim from the Guardian. I have gone off slightly there. But the structure estimated at between 10 feet and 12 feet high, which is about 3 meters, appeared to be planted in the ground. It was made from some sort of metal. Its shine in sharp contrast to the enormous red rocks which surrounded it. So down they went, and they couldn't believe it. They jumped out. Brett Hutchings, who is the helicopter pilot, who I probably should point out doesn't mumble like Santa through his beard. Maybe he does. But he says, quoted as saying, "That's been about the strangest thing that I've come across out there in all my years of flying."
Mm.
And isn't this crazy? So they went down, good on them for landing and just actually going, "I've got to check this out."
Oh, yeah.
So they went down there and actually checked it out. There's a video that's been doing the rounds of them checking it out like explorers. We could find that and put it on, but I'm sure you've all seen it or listened to it. If you're fans of the show, you'll be into this.
I've not actually seen that personally. Is it worth us bringing it up?
Here, we've got something here.
So one of the things that I read is that it's illegal for any kind of pieces to be left in this valley, which makes it all the more mysterious because someone is, whoever's put it there, actively breaking the law and knowingly doing so.
Okay, here it is.
Caught it up to you.
Okay, the intrepid explorers go down to investigate the alien life form.
Well, you laugh now, mate. You laugh now until you disappear.
Yeah, it's always the thing with intrepid explorers, having a wee giggle before they get eaten.
Okay. Who does this kind of stuff?
Wow.
Oh, what's that?
Oh, that's those starting playing the start of 2001.
So
it was very much like the monolith from 2001. They went there. It was that they checked it out. That's the end of it there.
The one thing that I read that I really loved is that before going down to check it out, they had a little pact with the group that were in the helicopter going to look at it, that if any one of them disappeared, the others were going to hightail it and just run the hell out of there and not try and save the others. It's like, it was like, if anything weird happens, we're all out. It's like, you're on your own.
I guess you want to report.
If you're in another dimension.
You know, they didn't know. It was just so out of character. I mean, it is like a cryptid itself because it should not be there. And so you think, okay, what is this thing? Where did it come from? Now, of course, it's definitely man-made because it looks man-made and there are rivets in it. So they believed it was planted firmly there. It did not drop from the sky. And the first theories that came through, which are most likely the accurate ones, are that it is a it's from a new wave artist of some sort.
Yeah.
And then as the days went by, you know, more and more people talked about it. And I've got a... First of all, as you say, Dan, about the illegality of it, it says it is illegal to install structures or art without authorization on public lands, no matter what planet you're from, said Utah DPS in a statement released Monday. I'd like him saying that to a freaky alien.
Yeah.
I don't care what planet you're from. Right. You can't do your art here.
There's bylaws for a reason, okay?
Yep, ho-ho-ho to you too, mate. Just head off. Ah, these Christmas fanatics. The location, of course, was not being disclosed so that people... can't find it, although I think with Google Earth, a lot of people have probably already found it.
Yeah. Just put Utah Valley sheep. Should be able to get it.
Yeah.
Lots of rich people have found it from chartering helicopters.
Yeah. In 2001, the thing was in the intro scene at least, because the monolith appears in different, like I think it's on the moon. I might have that wrong, but it's definitely on Earth, and it's the moment of touching it that consciousness, higher consciousness, gets given to the apes and intelligence. So what we need to look out for now is if these helicopter guys are suddenly, you know, the smartest men on our planet and starting wars with bones and so on, which is what happens. That's they understand that they're separate to the nature surrounding them, and when they fight, they clobber them, don't they, with bones.
I've got to be honest, I didn't get that from 2001 Space Odyssey. I was still totally confused at the end of it, kind of going, it's a great big shiny thing. A bunch of monkeys all have a big scrap. And then it goes on to, like, the rest of the movie. And I was like, all
you
the
were
time.
Too young when you watched it.
I was very young when I watched it.
To be honest, a bit dopey. Now, I think also there's that Who album. I think is it the Who with the cover. It's
Pink
monolith.
Floyd.
No, it's the Who.
Yeah, the Who.
And they're all
having a pee on it.
Yeah, it's called Who's Next. Who's Next, and there's a big monolith, and all the band are just peeing on it.
Yes.
That's a famous album cover,
yeah.
Which I really love as well. But just an update here. Unless, Michael, have you got any info on this you want to share?
Yeah.
Come on, Michael, come up.
Special correspondent.
Hello, everyone. So there was an artist called John McCracken who died in 2011, who specialised in building monoliths. And so the latest theory is that it's one of his.
And it's been there since 2011, or pre-2011.
At least 2011. I mean, if you go back through Google Earth, apparently, it's been there since at least 2015.
Wow.
And I heard rumours it could possibly have been there since the 40s.
I mean, I don't know.
Maybe it's left over from the movie. Maybe that's where they filmed the movie.
But I guess the real, if it's a work of art, I guess the mystery is how did he get it there? How did he bury it? And how did no one know about it?
Yeah. He kind of done it on his own.
Hang on. More importantly, how come you're such an expert on monoliths? How come you've just slotted knowing the whole history?
you don't know that. And I've been sat in the background of every single recording this has ever done.
Waiting
for an opportunity to talk about monoliths.
The unfortunate thing is I'm going to edit all this out, of course. So, you know.
Well, it's funny because this isn't the first time. I've been edited out about four or five times.
Yeah, this hasn't made it.
No. Well, do you not remember those DVD extras from Arthur Christmas? Anyway, I'll let you get on with it.
I knew bringing in a skeptic part-time sculptor was the right thing to do. So I think it's kind of answered what it is, but it's still the mystery of why it's there.
Yes.
And I think because of the illegality, and I believe that's a word, of putting art in places, in public places, because essentially I didn't even know it was a public place. I thought that might have been a vast range of someone's
backyard,
you know, someone's farm or whatever.
Yeah.
It's in the middle of nowhere. But I think what the person has done, and I believe this is what they've done, is they have strategically, and I can visually see Dan's walked away, but I'm going to continue talking.
Sorry.
He's returned. He often forgets that there's also visuals with this for us. Is that they have put this homage monolith in place in a secret location in the middle of nowhere so that one day it will be found.
Yeah. I think that's
and humans do that.
It's awesome.
Why? Because it's like a time capsule type thing.
Yeah,
so when it is found, people all over the world will talk about it, which is what has happened.
But it's also sort of like Banksy-esque, isn't it? It's like, I'm going to do something, put it out there. I don't want the fame from it. I'm not going to put my name to it. I'm going to just let people find it. One day in the future, it'll be found. And I just love the thought of everybody scratching their head, which is what we're all doing now.
Yeah,
it's a long game.
There was a guy who a few years ago, and it's not so much that he left it there to be discovered by helicopter pilots. He said this is out there, but no one knows the location. He set up this sort of another kind of little monolith where he had solar-powered speakers and an iPod player, and it's somewhere in Africa, and he's just got Toto, the song Africa, playing on repeat.
Oh, no.
And it's going to play on repeat.
You told me about this.
Yeah, it's going to play on repeat for a million years or something like that because it's just solar. It's just running through solar. But he's not said where it is. So somewhere out there in the desert, there's just, I hear the rings.
And you know what? This gives me great... Yeah, it's a great joy because it means that we should still keep exploring the planet because you don't know what you're going to come across. There's still Easter eggs to find.
The sad thing is, though, that guy's family is in for a huge shock in a few hundred years when the music rights people finally catch up with him and go, so you have to pay us 3 cents per play because it's in a public place and... Yep. It has played on it. You owe us approximately 30.
We don't care how many presents you've delivered over the years. You actually owe us. Work it out, please.
$333 million. No. You're not going to get out of this with a ho, 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 Merry Christmas. Mr. Claus, this time your art installation has ruined it. All the elves are coming with us.
You should have read the fine print in the clause.
Oh.
So that's what you should have got. You should have you're getting better with your comedy, but you've got to look
still got a long way to go.
Yeah, the words and what you can do with them just seconds before you use them.
It's so hard. It's hard being next. It's horrible being in the same room with them, to be honest. It's much easier in my
the pressure, right?
It's tough. Okay, so that's amazing. That one. Well done. Yep.
I love that news. That's cool.
That's great.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Really cool.
What we needed.
We didn't do headlines, I just suddenly realised. We just went straight into Monolith.
Well, sometimes that happens.
Yeah, sometimes that happens. So do we want to, Dan, do you want to just go into your news?
Yeah, sure.
My news is quite sad, just to set it up. I'm just going to bring the tone down a little bit.
So you moved into the microphone even closer for that bit.
Yeah, but we'll keep on the cherry.
So you want to end on
Santa
a sad note?
Yeah, and we'll end on a sad note.
Okay. All right, well, you go, Dan.
Okay. All right. My story this week.
Old Saddy's here, wants to go last.
I found a story which is a North Korean gymnast has defected to South Korea by vaulting over the border wall.
No.
I love
You're
this.
Kidding me.
Yeah, I read about this.
I didn't see this.
I love it. Yeah.
Yes. Actual vaulting over it.
Yeah, and it's a 3 meter high wall. It's really high, and he vaulted over. He's not been named, but he was discovered by the South Korean border guards who'd been running some military drills in the area, and they found him and he asked for asylum. And I think he's been granted it, but before they granted it to him, they couldn't believe that he managed to vault over the wall without being detected, without setting off all the alarms. So they made him do it two more times to show them that it was possible. They're like, you just show us again.
You just go back over. Just go back over to your the other dangerous country. Come back. Did you see that? Oh, no, I was watching the other way. I'll do it again one more time. Jonathan missed it. He was looking the other way.
Please tell me that when he finally got over the wall, he did that thing where he puts his arms up in the air.
And tumble in it.
Yeah, and looks over for for the points.
Yeah, but that's the thing. They've not said, you know, was there one of those spring horses that he used at the end? Oh. Did he use a pole vault to throw himself over? We don't know. It hasn't said.
The one thing that they do know is that registrations for pole vaulting classes in North Korea have gone through the roof.
That is hilarious. Can you just see that? We haven't got any slots at the moment because, honestly, our whole club, we've got 352 people. It's only a 30-size classroom here. So we're having to hold, yep. Now, if you bring your own sticks, it doesn't matter. There's only one guy that can teach you how to do it, and he's actually escaped. I've got a video here, audio, if you want it, unless you've got it down.
No, I don't, yeah. Let's hear it.
Let's have a look at this.
A North Korean man who crossed the heavily fortified border with the South has said he wants to defect, according to Seoul officials on Thursday. The man was taken into custody the day before in the demilitarized zone.
I can hear my washing machine is
talking
out the back. It's actually done. Michael, is it working, the washing machine?
Yes,
okay, Michael has fixed my washing machine. That's just an update. Nothing to do with the story. But that's why Michael was here,
just
by the way.
After he was spotted crossing.
He's fixing the washing machine. It's not what he normally does. It's one of his bonus skills.
On Thursday, the man was taken into custody the day before in the demilitarized zone separating the two Koreas, just hours after he was spotted crossing barbed wire fences installed along the border, prompting an urgent search operation. South Korea's Joint Chiefs of Staff said Thursday.
Please hold, caller. I can hear another video happening in the background. Is it just you or
Authorities
me?
Authorities have launched an investigation.
Is it just you or me?
Hang on a second.
That's wrong.
Hang on. No, that can't. There can't be another one on.
I tell you what, the funny thing is I love that story that they have to say that he went to the effort of pole vaulting over into the demilitarized zone, avoiding incredible, you know, weapons, you know, automatic detection systems and literally put his life on the line. And they have to point out the fact that he would like to defect. That's like, you know, course he wants to defect. He wasn't doing it for fun.
Yeah.
He has said that he would like to defect.
Can we just confirm with you that you know that this isn't the Olympic Village? So what you've jumped over here is you've actually left the country now. So is that, can I confirm that you're not just confused about your whereabouts?
No, I'd like to defect.
Okay, right. So, but you are a gymnast, yeah? So you're hoping to, are you going to compete for your country, which is now your ex-country now, or?
No, just.
You mainly just want a shot at a better life.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So the high jump and what have you, that's just more of a hobby, is it?
Yeah, well, I just learned it this afternoon.
Okay, well, you're very good. You're very good. We're happy to have you. And also, have you thought about the Olympics next year? Because our team's not looking too good, actually.
JCS spokesman Kim Jun-rok.
I understand the person has expressed his willingness to defect. I am not able to provide more details as the related agency's investigation is still ongoing.
Kim said border controls were being further examined after the search for the man revealed that parts of the fences equipped with electronic monitors were found damaged, possibly by typhoons. He added that there was no sign of unusual movement by North Korean troops.
All right. So there we have it. Good. And that report was, there was a HuffPost video from a HuffPost site. Right. So anyway, yeah.
So
I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, so cool. And it sounds like he might have climbed as opposed to, I think have we just made up the pole vaulting bit as part of our retelling?
Oh, really? I wasn't listening to the video.
Yeah.
It was hard to, it kept stopping and starting. So let's just go with pole vaulting.
That's it. Yeah, let's stick with pole vaulting.
I mean, that's a movie. That's a movie in the making.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It actually reminds me of my second show that I did called Rhys Darby and the Supernova, which was a sequel to the Time Machine one-man play that I put out in 2000. Right. And it was about my character, the freestyle dance champion from Oakuni. Yeah,
that's right.
Who was the only guy on the planet who had the moves to be able to get through a series of traps inside the Great Pyramid to find the mega bomb that was inside there and had to bring it out.
Right.
Anyway, that's enough about me, but what a show.
And this was an Edinburgh Fringe one-man play, was this?
Yeah, it was a Fringe Festival one-man play.
What was your budget?
Did well. Budget was fairly high. You know, we're talking 500-600.
Ooh, okay.
Is that a lot?
I don't know.
500-600.
Not much, 1,000? Is it? $600.
All right.
Gotcha. I mean, what are we looking at there? I mean, I did all. I didn't have to. There's no costuming. I just wore a black T-shirt, black shorts.
Well, that's pretty good. That's $500-600 to buy you a pair of Levi's and a really nice T-shirt.
It was the second year that I was nominated for the Billy T Award, and I was sick. And I had a bucket on stage because I would, mid-performance, I'd have to vomit. And because
did
I
you
did,
actually
yeah,
vomit?
I did.
No.
Yeah, I did. And even when the Billy T judges were there, and I thought, I'm going to win this because despite my illness,
look, you were
I'm
up
still,
there.
I'm still putting on a show.
And, but they all then started realizing
did you
that
win?
They were going to come down and get sick as well.
Yeah, and a lot of them like, actually.
They didn't want to shake your hand
as well.
To get sick. In so fact, they didn't choose you.
Looking back, I think that's why I might have lost. There's a lot of vomiting going on. But anyway, yeah.
Wow.
Well, that's
That'd be a great movie, though, wouldn't it, this gymnast?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like a really quick movie, isn't it?
Yeah.
He comes, he defects, has a nice life. Thank you. That's good. It's a short film.
That's
a
short film. That you would watch it. You'd be like, the trailer looks fantastic. Let's see the full thing. No, that was it, I'm afraid.
I also think it'd be a funny idea if South Korea put out a whole bunch of high jump mats just on their side of the border fence.
and a bunch of people with judging ready to judge them.
Judging panels all sorted out, and then just do a helicopter drop of pole vaulting poles. just completely cover North Korea in pole vaulting poles.
It's so good.
I heard a story today about North Korea, which is the Chinese were coming into North Korea, and the United Nations used to have an army, and the army was trying to fight off the Chinese, and they were losing badly because there were 120,000 Chinese military people, and they circled around the American military, sorry, the United Nations military. So they were stuck inside this sort of war zone, and they'd run out of ammunition, and they desperately needed some. So they did a call to their base to say, we need more. And the code word for the ammunition was Tootsie Rolls. So they said, Tootsie Roll, supply, now. So the message went out to the supplies depot. Unfortunately, the person who got the message didn't realize that that was code for ammunition. So they ended up sending and parachuting in a plane load of Tootsie Rolls and other confectionery.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. So that's they hilarious. Thought, yes, we're being saved, and just parachutes of Tootsie Rolls landed in there. And
wow. To be fair, though, if you're into Tootsie Rolls, which for those of you that don't know what they are, they're basically candy, lollies.
Yeah.
They're very nice.
Very
if you're into them, that would still be a happy day.
That'd be a good one. Like
they later said the morale was really lifted by it. It was,
yeah.
They didn't have any weapons.
For now 5 minutes until they all crash with a sugar rush.
And then got killed because they didn't have any ammunition.
Always bringing the stories down. Look,
it's just a bit just, sad today. It's a sad day.
Why are you obsessed with sadness? Well, go on, do your sad story.
Yeah, let's get your sad story.
If we got all the fun out of the way, is that all the fun? Is that all you?
Nice okay, link. Finished nice your fun. Nice link into your sad story.
Okay, well, my little bit of sad news, but very important news, and I think it's very important we mark this occasion because it is a sad day. The giant satellite dish, the Arecibo satellite dish, made famous on the James Bond movie GoldenEye Contact with Jodie Foster. That movie, sorry. Dan's playing sad music in the background.
I wondered what that noise was. I'm looking at my phone thinking, have I left something on? Okay.
I think you just
now this is good.
Just need some sad violin in the background.
Honestly, I think I'm about to start crying. That satellite is closing down. They're gonna shut it down.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. And we didn't even get to go to it.
I love James Bond and satellite.
I know. GoldenEye was a half decent movie.
Wait, is it a dish?
It's a dish. Satellite dish.
Oh.
Yeah. It's like it had a big cable and the big cable broke.
Oh, I like big cables.
No, but this was a bad cable.
Bad cable.
Naughty cable, and it broke and it smashed it. It smashed
it. Damn
it! Smashed it.
Why? Oh,
because it was rusty.
Wait, who's this at the door? Someone's at the door.
Who's at the door? How did you know they were there before they knocked?
Yeah, you open it. Santa!
Now is not the time.
Yeah, ho 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 to you, mate.
He's gonna get the satellite going again.
What? Really, Santa? Yes!
Ho ho ho!
Yay!
Oh, I wish he could. That would be a Christmas miracle.
He's definitely left because I heard the door shut there.
He exited via the vault.
The door sounding much better as he closed it than the door secure. That opened, which I think.
Very secure.
Yeah.
Anyway, the sad news is that this amazing satellite dish, one of the biggest in the world for a long, long time until China made one just slightly bigger recently.
Oh, typical.
57 years old, this thing. It's got a 900-ton receiver, satellite receiver, that is strung up 137 meters up from this dish, which is 305 meters in diameter.
Wow.
Everybody knows that. It's all the way up in the Puerto Rico mountains.
Mm-hmm.
It's been used for years. And what the one thing that it's been used most for and most recently for, which is this is the biggest concern and probably the saddest part of them after this damage that it suffered recently, not getting it going again, is that it's been used for detecting asteroids that are earthbound.
Oh, and it detected the one just recently that was a near-miss asteroid. And there are other satellite dishes that do that job, but they don't do it as often and they don't do it as frequently. And so they're shutting this one down. They've decided, no, it's going to cost too much money. And also, actually, it's too dangerous to go and try and fix it because one cable broke. It smashed into the dish. They were like, okay, we can deal with that. It was just a standby cable.
So these are the cables that are holding it up?
Yeah,
or are
the 900-ton thing, the big receiver part at the top.
Okay.
And so they've actually decided actually it's too unsafe to try and save it because then one of the other main cables, after the first one broke and smashed into the dish, they were like, no, we can fix this. Then a second one broke and then they were like, no, it's gone. So they've shut it down, and the scientific community are incredibly sad about it for many reasons. But the fascinating fact that I found out about it, apart from the fact that it was used in a Bond movie because it looks amazing, and obviously Contact.
A huge fight happens on it, yeah. And also in Contact, and I was just trying to think of other movies. I'm sure there's more.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's a sight to behold.
Oh, it's beautiful. And almost 60 years it's been there. But the interesting thing is that when they built it, it was actually only built to examine the stratosphere, basically Earth's atmosphere. So it was only having to look
a
few kilometres into the sky. Somebody, in designing how big the satellite had to be, did the calculation wrong, and it was built almost 100 times bigger than it needed to be.
What?
So somebody went on a piece of paper. So how big is it, John?
They added a zero or something?
305 meters. Well, they said 100 times. So I'm wondering whether or not they could have done it with a 3 meter.
Oh, no. It was meant to be 3 meters and it's 300. This is out of control.
But it's one of the happiest scientific errors ever made. Because the size they made it has meant that they can do so much more with it, and it is proven to be so useful, and it is responsible for countless amounts of
scientific did this start research. Off as just some dude's satellite that he bought online and wanted to install in his house, and it turned out that he got the measurements wrong,
and it
became the biggest satellite in the world. And he was away on holiday, and came back and went, "Oh shit, that is way too big." can I just have a word with the guy who? Honestly, mate, this is top quality here. You're going to be able to get to all the channels.
You can get channels from other interplanetary regions, it turns out.
We're talking stuff from out of this world, mate. You're going to get all the top shows from different stratospheres, different dimensions. Here's your remote. Oh, yeah, fuck, that's big. I could bloody live on that. It's the size of a bus. Yeah, just jump it down on any of those buttons, mate. And how much is this going to set me back? Yeah, it's not going to be... It's not going to be cheap, I've got to be honest with you. But we do have a payment scheme.
It turns out it's 100 times your budget.
I guess you've installed it now. It's too late to send it back. Oh, absolutely. And not only that, we don't have the trucks big enough to take it anywhere. I tell you what, hold on to it till about 2020 and then we'll chuck it up on Trade Me or Craigslist or Etsy or any of those bloody...
Etsy. That'd be a hell of a messy purchase.
So has it been decommissioned already, Buttons? Has it been turned off?
I don't think it's been turned off yet. It's as far as I understand, not operational. It went quiet over COVID time anyway, because people are needed there to operate it. Although there are a lot of people who have incredible memories of, because you used to have to go into the mountains in Puerto Rico to live there. If you're going to basically be a researcher at the satellite dish, you had to go and live there up in the mountains. And apparently it was amazing. This incredible scientific community was born out of it, and all these relationships.
But this is where Chupacabra came into it. Chupacabra. Oh. I mean, that's the Puerto Rican cryptid.
Yeah.
There's got something to do with that area. I could be getting the areas wrong. But there's also an observatory, isn't there?
Yes, yeah, there is. Because it's quite a special place up there.
Isn't it interesting, though, this giant satellite that's monitoring the skies for multiple asteroids, alien life, gets turned off, and then suddenly in Utah, a mysterious monolith is delivered.
Yes.
Hello.
That's all putting coming two together. Recent news articles together. That's what he's
that
paid
what
for.
He did.
That's
why
he gets the big bucks.
But aren't we
he's like a
concerned?
Detective. I can already see the bit of string going from one article to the other on his board on the wall. Hang on, these things could be related.
What's going on here? But look at it getting constructed. This is I'm just showing Reese here, I'll show you too, Dan. This picture of it getting constructed, and knowing that all of that work was unnecessary.
Yeah, all of that. Yeah, we're looking at how much.
Look how much earth they had to move. They literally had to dig out an entire mountain range to be able to make it work.
It's like a gigantic quarry.
Mm, yeah.
I mean, the dude who originally purchased it through the back of an ad in some magazine must have been away on holiday for a long time, not noticing all of this construction going on.
Really surprised when he got there. So it's a shame because when they decommission it, I imagine because it's USO, they're going to have to. They can't just leave it there, rocking away.
Yeah.
They're going to. It's so dangerous. I'm sure they're going to have to pull it all out, and there'll just be a huge, big crater left.
You know what? They will also, if they do get rid of it and sell it off, bits of that are going to go for quite a nice price tag. We should get a little bit of it.
Yes,
a panel.
Mini museums will be onto it.
Get it into mini museums. Yeah. So anyway, so that's. That's my sad little bit.
I'm glad it's not as sad as I thought it was going to be. I thought you'd literally cancelled Christmas, but you haven't.
Well, it has been for the scientific community. Thank you very much.
Yeah, no, you're right, but there are other satellites, and like you say, the Chinese have got some big ones. It's about getting on board with them now, you know.
Yeah.
The Puerto Ricans have sort of slipped in their research.
in their cable management.
Okay,
system.
Well, let's tick along nicely. Like a well-worn clock that purchased in Switzerland that hasn't faulted yet in its 12 years, and move on to some cryptid news.
Ooh.
Attention, all personnel. It's time for this week's cryptid. Oh, help me!
Okay. So, Dan, do you want to kick off? You got anything?
Yeah, I just wanted to bring up. So earlier this year in Ohio at the Rutherford B. Mays Presidential Library, an exhibition was opened, which was called "Ohio: An Unnatural History," and it was showcasing all of the cryptids from the area, Mothman, and so on. A lot of interesting ones that I'd never heard of before, like the Loveland Frog. Have you heard of that?
Oh, yeah, I have heard of that one, yep.
Great, great stories of how people have been going to the swampy areas of Ohio and seeing a sort of humanoid 4-foot-tall frog, just like a massive frog.
Yeah.
And all these cryptids are part of the folklore there, and they decided to do a massive exhibition of original art where someone really talented would draw them up so people could look at them, see them for their size, and sort of get a gauge of what they might see if they went around looking for cryptids in the area.
Right.
Unfortunately, COVID hit, and no one's been able to see the cryptids. they've been shut down. And this exhibition was only meant to run until October the 30th. So they're looking to sort of extend it. But I just quite like the cryptids themselves that were meant to be seen still could not be seen as a result.
It's almost like they planned it.
Exactly. So I'm going to show you a video here of what you will see if you do manage to go to it.
Natural History opens on Friday, February 28th. It tells the story of nearly a dozen creatures from Ohio folklore, both older legends and more recent tall tales.
Some are very unique to Ohio, such as the Loveland Frog, Mothman, which we share with West Virginia.
The museum wanted to take a non-traditional approach to celebrating local history by spreading awareness of the myths of the region, from Native American folk creatures to more recent rail worker
pugwudgies.
There have been stories about them for, you know, generations, and they've captivated people's imagination. But why is that? Why is folklore important? Why do we care so much about these things?
The original pieces on display for the exhibit are from Fremont native Dan Chazinski, the current curator of Finley's Mazza Museum. The goal is to show a more realistic interpretation of these fantasy creatures so guests can get a better appreciation of their legends.
So people can come, see his artwork, and they can see life-size cutouts of the work that he created.
So
I really want to go to that.
Yeah. Unfortunately, though, COVID shut them down entirely and no one's been able to go see this. So I think they're talking about extending it. So if anyone is in the Ohio area where this library is, do go and see it. And I just love, I mean, particularly this little Loveland frog. There's a great account of in 2016, a guy called Sam Jacobs. He was out with his girlfriend playing Pokemon Go near this lake, Lake Isabella. And they were stocking up on some nice Pokemon when suddenly he looked up and said, "We saw a huge frog near the water." And it was not in the game, which he had to sort of
emphasize. So he definitely wasn't looking at his screen. It
exactly.
was real said, life.
A real one.
He said this was an actual giant frog. And he paused his play, good on him, and snapped some grainy photos. And they don't look great. But what he says is when it was a dark figure standing in the gently rippling water, light bouncing off its enormous saucer-shaped eyes, and he was convinced that he was seeing a frog on its hind legs. I realize this sounds crazy, he said, but I swear on my grandmother's grave, this is the truth. The frog stood at about 4 feet tall. So, jeez. And many have seen in this area the roving Loveland frog, according to...
Yeah, I have heard of it. Well, I tell you what, the artistry in this exhibition is fantastic. So, yeah, I hope they get to put themselves out there again so public can see it, because it's beautiful.
It's amazing. But also, how awesome that a state is actually kind of going, right, we need to celebrate these mythical creatures and we need to keep them alive and get people interested and curious about them. And is truly celebrating that side of their history.
Yeah.
It's like, you know,
at a presidential library as well. You know, this is a real place of repute.
I love how they say there that they share Mothman.
I was thinking that too. Like, and don't forget, we share Mothman, and we have checked with him with Georgia.
It's like joint custody.
Yeah.
We'll get them this weekend. You get them next weekend. But you had them last Christmas, so we'll have this Christmas. Yeah, yeah. And then on holidays, we'll alternate those.
The other thing, of course, is the library could have said to this cryptid mythical exhibition, I tell you what, we'll put you on. We'll put you on while COVID's on. And there's been some cancellations, and we actually do have a couple of weeks free there. People won't be able to attend, but if you want to bring your cardboard cutouts down, most welcome. Hello? Well, I just hope it hits the road, because that artwork looks amazing, and it's great to actually see these things close up and see and to imagine visually the exact size of these creatures.
That's cool, isn't it? That's what I like, the size thing, yeah.
Well, I've got a piece of cryptid news that comes hot on the back of your cryptid news, I think, a couple of weeks ago, Dan.
So not that hot.
And actually, the story is from August.
It's lukewarm at most.
It's lukewarm. But
it's actually getting a little chilly, so you better hurry up and say it.
This one's going to go straight in the microwave because it's worth it. It's worth reheating.
Okay.
This is on the back of your story about Bigfoot braiding horses' manes.
That was about a month and a half ago. Yeah.
A couple of weeks. It was a good one. Around the time. Bigfoot has now been accused of tearing and desecrating a USA flag.
Oh, no.
And braiding the flag.
Braiding it?
Yeah.
Well, that's what he does.
This is his hobby. So this is...
That was in the same article, I seem to remember.
Was it?
This is just the same article, but a piece that Dan didn't want to read because it was.
Well, they've clearly expanded the article and on both sides, because in this article it talks about your piece of news about horse's hair being braided.
Yeah, at the top of the article, right? Like, that's the bit, and then the braiding of the flag gets a bit further down. Yeah.
No, this one's about the braiding of the flag.
Oh, so this is a separate article.
The braiding of the horse is a little bit further down.
Oh, no way.
Oh, right. He's got his phone upside down. Turn it right, Ray. Come on.
Oh, yep. Yeah. No, it's at the top. Well, no, this is on Memorial Day weekend in the Garrison Cemetery, which is in Columbus, is in Garrison Cemetery, wherever the Garrison Cemetery is. It's thought that a flag there that got torn apart was a victim of a massive storm that came through. But
flag was a victim of a storm.
That's what it says.
Well, hopefully to a victim support group.
Yeah.
For ripped flags. That's all I can say, because there'll be a lot of those after storms.
Stitching his life back together, that flag. And then everybody just thought this flag got torn in the storms, it makes sense, but no other flags got torn like this one did.
Okay.
And more importantly, when this flag was brought down, because it was all torn, it had little knots, like it was all braided together.
But you know, just to butt in there, a twister could possibly do that, couldn't it? Just as a sudden thought.
Could do. A twister or a knotter. Whatever that might be.
They're called twisters.
Right. But you know, it could be called knotters.
Yeah, tornadoes.
No, yeah, but if it twists, if it twists with a little spin, then it'd be a knotter.
A knotter. Okay, well.
A twist and spin. Twist and in.
Possibly. We've got a knotter coming through today. Be careful, guys. It's going to spin you about and put you inside out if you're not careful.
You'll never brush those knots out. Ooh! Did the knotter come through? No, did not.
Oh, God. Just read the article.
Well, he was trying your comedy lessons, Reese. This is.
That's the thing. I took the words.
Halved it and failed.
I want to give up now. Can I give up?
No, you can edit all that out. That's fine.
Great. Yeah, I will. So according to this woman, Harriet McFeely, the tattered and braiding of the flag is actually evidence of the fact that Bigfoot has been through there and has braided it himself. She's a
This is the same woman who said about the braiding of the horses was Bigfoot.
That's right.
So she's obsessed with this idea.
Yeah, she certainly is. But she's taken to task on this. She's come and she's taken the flag and has claimed the flag, which ironically was put there a couple of decades earlier by a member of her family, her grandfather. So she's reclaimed the flag and has put it in a museum, which she has.
Her own museum.
She has her own little museum, which is exciting. It's called the Nebraska Bigfoot Crossroads of America.
Oh, wow.
Museum, which is another one to add on to the must-see list. Anyway, she believes that this has been braided by Bigfoot and proof that Bigfoot exists. And she says, this is a quote from her, "If you look right here, there's a knot, a perfect knot right there," McFeely pointed out. "They tie the knots with their fingers. When asked about how a supposedly large creature like Bigfoot could make such small knots, McFeely noted that it's a habit picked up by the creature's early years. There are two things to think about," she says. "First of all, they have kids, and guess how big their fingers are when they're kids? They're littler than mine," McFeely said. "I know some men that crochet. If you learned that when you were 7 years old, it wouldn't matter if you're what size you are. And once you know..."
It's the technique, isn't it?
Yes. Once you know how you do it, you know how to do it. So she says that she believes that they are capable of doing this. And she goes on to talk about a lady that lives on a farm who's got two horses that keep coming back with their hair braided, which she believes is Bigfoot as well.
Well, I can tell you this much, that it's not the horses braiding each other's hair. You ever tried to braid anything with hooves? Dismal failure. That was an audio clip of two horses trying to braid each other. Halfway through it, I realised they're both horses, so neither of them can talk. It's not going to go anywhere.
But I heard them, they were doing it on concrete because I heard the hooves on. that's one of their problems.
Who wrote the article, out of curiosity?
She did.
No,
it's one of hers.
No, it's the Columbus Telegram.
Okay, is that it?
Yep, that's it.
Wow, I don't know if that is the proof that we needed for Bigfoot. That finally the smoking gun was a knotted and braided flag after a storm. This is it, I've got it. Drop what you're doing. We've solved it. Check out this flag.
At my museum now, admission fee, $15.
$300 a ticket. Come in and see the flag. Sign here and tell me that you've solved it.
Solve that.
Great stuff.
Yes.
All right, quick time check. Yep, a minute. No, a 1 hour.
A minute to go.
A minute and 4 seconds. We've done. No, it's an hour.
Yeah, brilliant. We've done it.
That's the longest minute of my life.
Well, I think we'll leave it there this week, but we will remind our listeners that we've still got the exciting Christmas episode coming up.
Yes.
And I think we should actually, the three of us, think about what we want to do with that. Obviously, the obvious thing is maybe like we did with the Halloween one, where we come up with a Christmas-based cryptid type story.
Ooh.
That we can find. So we do a bit of research there.
Does that exist? Is that a territory?
Yeah.
Cryptids?
Oh, absolutely. Well, no, what I'm saying is
Christmas,
like,
cryptids.
Christmas cryptids. No, like stories or eyewitness accounts that happen on or around the festive season.
Very exciting.
At the end of the year.
Niche is
very niche.
It may only be two. Well, only two of
I
us
think all three of us
story.
Will come up with the same story, and that'll be quite a good experiment.
Who can tell it best?
Well, we know it's going to be Dan, based on the other. It'll be about him, and they'll have a massive twist at the end.
I don't know, Santa was really there because he was my dad, and I was the boy.
Hang on, we've got Dan's dad at the door. Hang on. You can always tell before he knocks. Yes, Merry Christmas to you too, Mr. Schreiber. I think he wants Dan to come home.
To come home, Dan.
You got to go, mate.
Time for you to go.
All right. Sorry, Dad.
And your dad, he's like, he won't leave the house until we give him milk and cookies. He's so annoying, isn't it?
He's like, very annoying.
And he wants carrots. What sort of car is he driving that he needs carrots for his car? Carrots.
And who farms reindeer these days as well, by the way? Very odd. Very odd. All right. Bye, Mr. Shribes.
What was it that he said at the end? He's fall.
Yeah, I think he's falling. Oh, shit. I need to get that driveway fixed. Bye, everyone.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.